All right. Well, good morning, North Shore. How are you doing? Happy New Year's Eve. I'm hoping you guys are excited. Kids, good luck trying to stay up until midnight. It's always, you know, I always said, okay, I'm going to do it. And, you know, you fall asleep earlier than normal. I want to do something. Tommy and Emily, come on up here. We have, and many of you know these two, they are on staff here. Emily Swanby, she works in a couple different things, you know, part of a worship team, but also works with worship for the children. So a lot of you children know Miss Emily and lead you in worship. Mr. Tommy is a fourth and fifth grade coordinator in our North Shore Kids Ministry. So again, you kids at that age probably know them. Well, they are going to do something exciting, radical, crazy tomorrow, and they're going to get married tomorrow, right? Yeah. Yeah. And, get used to this, right? Well, we just love these guys, and I just wanted to, and I kind of surprised them last service. I didn't tell them, but you know, especially the kids in here, like just to celebrate. It's an exciting time. It's going to be amazing 2018 and forward for them. And we just want to take a moment to congratulate you, pray for you, and then hey, if you don't have anything else going on after the service, we're going to change this place into a wedding scene. So move some chairs with us, okay? Let's pray for them, okay? Father God, we love you, and we love Tommy, we love Emily, and we love marriage. We love what you're doing in their lives, and it's just exciting for us as a church family to partner with them. And so I just pray blessings over them as they prepare to go before you, before friends and family, and commit themselves to the covenant of marriage. And so, Father, I just pray that all the logistics will just come together, and they'll be, it'll be a blessing and not a stress. And so I just pray they will enjoy the journey of the two becoming one, and may you bless them. And we just trust these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you. Love you, guys. Love you, girl. God bless you. Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that. Well, welcome, kids. I'm glad you are here. We're going to do things just a little different today, so it's probably more of a warning to you adults, and we're going to do a little participation. So there's going to be some moments in here that I'm going to ask you to participate. So if your kids are here, you kind of huddle up, you talk through these things, okay? If you're here without kids, talk to each other about that. If you're sitting alone and you just say, I don't like to talk to people, okay? You can just write and think as we do this, but we want to make this thing move just a little different because we want to honor the special guest, and that's our children. So I love family, I love us as a church family being together. And we are on week two of his story. Pastor Ken is celebrating his Christmas vacation, and as a pastor, you have to do it after Christmas to celebrate Christmas. So he is doing that this week, and I get a chance to step in and fill in for him and continue in the series called His Story. And what we're doing is we're following this book. Each week we're doing a chapter. I've tweaked mine just a little bit so you know, with the kids in here, but still close, and I'm on chapter two. But we want to make these books available to you, one per household. We've been giving them out, and they're gone. So we ordered some more. So if your household didn't get one of these books to come along with us, we want to get one to you and then encourage you this. Read it with us, but don't just read the words. We want you to take this in. We want to get to know the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, to work in our life. And we want to journey this journey together. So we invite you to be part of this journey of his story. So make sure you get one of your books. Bibles. If you want a Bible, raise your hand, we'll get one. If you've got a phone or a Bible, Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be centered on. Luke 2 will be in verse 41 and through there. Verse 40 applies here. So raise your hand if you need a Bible, and our ushers will get one to you. You guys, thank you, appreciate it. And that is Luke chapter 2. So my chapter in the book is called Jesus' Mission Begins. Okay. I think, oh boy, when I think of the word begin, when we're looking at Jesus' mission, I think, boy, begin's kind of a boring word, okay? I think, you know, I begin my homework. I begin my chores, right? Or young people, I've got to go begin my nap. I got to begin my work day. You know, beginning to set a weak word. I want to grab another word. So I want to use this video to set up the word I want to use as we talk about this. Watch this. You'll get it real quick. Okay, so the word I want to use is not begin, but launch. I don't know how many of you, but I grew up in the space shuttle era. And so, man, every 6 months to a year, we got to watch a launch, and it was cool, right? Because you know when you're watching a launch, you know you're seeing something special that's powerful. And in some ways, it's going to change your life as they go up and do their thing. And we look at Jesus' mission. He really launches it because he's going to do something that is going to blow our minds. He's going to, it's going to be powerful, and he's going to change your life with it. And so we look at a launch versus a beginning. You have to start saying, okay, if he's going to launch a mission, what's the mission? What mission is he on? And to really understand the mission, you have to know where it starts. It starts in the Father's heart. God created us to be in relationship with him. And he loves us, cares for us. He calls us, we're the apple of his eye. And then sin entered and separated us. And so God, because he loved us, sent his son, Jesus, into the world. And Luke 19:10 gives us Jesus' mission statement. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So what Jesus did is he came into the world to be about the Father's mission, the Father's business of going to find those lost that are away from the Father and gather them and bring them and draw them back to the Father, because he loves us. And here's what's really cool, okay? Jesus is still on mission, but he says this in John 17:18. I want to read this. This is Jesus praying before he went to the cross at the Garden of Gethsemane. He says in John 17:18, and he's praying to the Father. He says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And them is the disciples. But he later on says, it's all of those who will believe. It's us. It's you and me. What Jesus is saying is, hey, Father, you've got this mission that I'm going to be on. And guess what? I'm bringing them with me. They're on mission with me. We are on mission with Jesus. Matthew 28 kind of explains this more. And Jesus, before, you know, after his resurrection and before he went to be with the Father, he tells us this, his last command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will be with them. I will be with you until the end of the age. Jesus says, we're doing this mission together. And it's really cool. So our series is his story, our story, one story. It's one mission with Jesus. We are on a one mission with Jesus, and that's about going into this world and drawing people, because that's what the Father has us to do, into the safety of a relationship with Jesus. That's the mission we're on. And so if you're going to have a mission, what's very, very essential is to have a great pre-launch. And that's in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at a pre-launch. And it's an interesting chunk of scripture. It's the only time that Jesus' childhood is described. Luke does it. And what he does is he describes it, becomes the preparation for his public launch. And so let's look at Luke chapter 2 and see what we can learn about this mission we're on with Jesus as we look how Jesus was prepared. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. And it's a sure foundation you're going to see here. Verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So the Jewish community would do three annual feasts in Jerusalem. So wherever they were, they would do a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And the primary one, the most popular because it's so significant in their history, was Passover. when they're reflecting Jesus rescuing them in Egypt. And so they went down, and when he was 12, talking about Jesus here, when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. So they went up from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And so as you know, as you look at this, as they are establishing a sure foundation, anytime a story or an illustration is going to start with a family trip, you know there's a lesson to learn, because all of you have been on a family trip, and there's always something to learn, right? Usually stories to tell forever on this. So what Mary and Joseph were doing is they were establishing a sure foundation of faith in the Father and God. So they knew what their call was, and they wanted to establish a sure foundation, because, you know, you'll see later, they didn't quite understand, you know, the call fully, but they got it, right? They were gonna establish a firm foundation, a sure foundation for him. And how do they do it? What do we see here? First thing is they valued it. They made faith a priority in their homes and in their life. It was important to them. It was important that faith was primary, central to them. You know, the whole community had this, and we can see by this text, so did they. It was important and valued it. They were active in their faith. They lived it out. It wasn't just words. It just wasn't a religious expression. And what they were saying when they were active is, this is who we are. Not just something we talk about, or it's a good idea, or grandma and grandpa used to do this. No, they lived it out and said, this is who we are. We are God followers. Then they were consistent with it. Every year they went up to Jerusalem. And they, you can just tell that they participated in all of the religious and the Jewish culture, because it was such a centerpiece of the faith journey. They were consistent with those things. And when we are consistent, what we're saying to those, to our children, is we believe this is true and it's going to make an impact on our lives. Therefore, we're going to do it consistently. What it allows for our kids and us, when we're consistent, is it allows us to sink deep. Okay, it's not just a glancing, decent idea, but something that deeps and penetrates into the soul. Something else they did is they involved Jesus. He was 12 years old, and they involved him. You know, and you have to understand, this age is the age of transition. At 13, a boy was considered a man, and he was welcomed into the religious community to be all part of it. There's accountability, all the stuff that an adult. That's what at 13 it happened, right? So at 12 was this transition year. It's where you went to the festivals and you started experiencing it and getting ready, because you're going to be unleashed into it at 12 years old. And it allows them, as when we involve our kids in it, it becomes their own, right? Don't you want for your kids their faith to be their own and not just believe what you believe? And that's a tough transition sometimes. But when we involve them, it allows it to become their own. And this wasn't an easy journey. It, depending how you look at it, what they did with Samaria, it was either 3 to 5 days long, uphill in springtime. I mean, weather was a little crazy. You imagine this morning if you got up and said, we're going to church, which you all did, right? And don't tell me what your journey was getting ready for church. There's usually stories there. But you said, hey, it's 5 days away. You might be here alone, right? it's tough. So I want to ask you our first question. When you talk about it, think about it, okay? And it's, should we make our kids, our children, attend church and participate in church activity? So we make it a rule. So we make them, ready? So you start talking about that. If you're by yourself, you think about it. Okay, go, one minute. Why do you think? You always All right. Good. Hopefully that wasn't too hard. Kind of fun, right? Talking a little different. Okay. Good. I'm not going to give you an answer, just so you know, right? You're just like, because I know what happens. Parents are saying, yeah, make them. Kids say, no, don't make them, right? So now you have a 2018 conversation to have. But what can we grab from this? You know, what am I going to venture into right now? is in Deuteronomy 6, and what Jesus was raised under was the teaching of how a family went about faith development or formation. So let's see what we can learn from that. And I want to encourage you, it's in your outline there, is just, you know, and kids, you do the same thing, is what do you guys do great? When I read it and mention a point and say a couple words about it, say, yeah, we do great at that one. You know, so celebrate a little bit some of the successes that you do have as we look how Jesus would have been raised in spiritual formation. First thing is Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And this is talking to parents, right? Talking to the spiritual leaders of the home, the parents. Verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Parents need to deeply love God. Our children must see us live out a true faith relationship in Jesus, not just religion. Show them that we love Jesus. There's this little phrase that said there's more caught than taught. Have you heard that? They're going to see, do you love Jesus, or is this just some sort of thing, right? Parents need to love Jesus deeply is what he teaches us there. Second, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently. And this is talking about the things of Jesus, the things of the Lord. You should teach them to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And what this is talking about is you need to do it relationally. Not just say rules, you know, do as I say, not as I do, these things. No, you need to engage it relationally. You know, and use life lessons and object lessons and teachable moments. And you see Jesus do it, right? Later in the Gospels. But as families, we have to do that. What are those moments we can talk about our faith and wrestle with these things and walk through it? The next piece of it, and there's a part of this story of this journey to Jerusalem for Jesus' family. They lose Jesus, so you know, okay? How many of you have lost your children before? Okay, we've done that. So guess if Mary and Joseph can lose them, guilt is gone, right? Our daughter liked to go run and hide in the center rack of the clothes thing. And the only way we could ever find her because we'd hear her laughing at us. You know, we're panicking at the stores, doing the shutdowns and all the crazy stuff. But they lost Jesus, okay? And where they found him, or where they went and looked, was among relatives and acquaintances, the faith community. So it's really essential. And hear me, this is huge, okay? Because it's such a major factor in a kid carrying on his faith after he graduates high school. And that is the faith community, the family of God that they come from. So this, us adults that are typically in here, okay? We have to make this place a family where we understand the kids and their journey, what they're going through, and embrace them, bring them part of it. So it's not just this thing that I've never been to an adult church before. You know, that's where the adults go. That's boring. That's stupid. No, we got to support Blaine, our student pastor, and Brandy, and Sandy, the children, and her whole team, right? This needs to be a family. It needs to be a faith community. We need to have kids up here interacting. It's us, and that's what they did. They all went together. The scene must have been incredible. You know, hundreds of thousands of people flowing toward Jerusalem, families, relatives, the whole community. That's what it's supposed to be like because it's powerful. So hopefully you and your kids can get them engaged in community, not just the ministry they go to, but the whole family of God. The next thing is live in the world carefully as to please God. Verse 18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you. We have to live and make decisions that enhance our faith. And teach our kids to do that. You have to make choices. There's so many choices that are being said, no, we don't do that. We shouldn't do that. We won't participate in that. And it can't be, okay, kids, you have to live by these rules and we live by these rules. It's got to be unified. We make family decisions that enhance our faith. No, we don't participate in that. No, we don't watch that. We don't do, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to make a bunch of rules, but you have to be careful because some things take you away from God, other things lead you toward God. And the last one is, and I took it out of Ephesians 5:22, and it's something I really feel strongly about. And what I've watched over my family ministry career, you know, which is starting to stretch out toward 25 years now, is the home atmosphere is a powerful element in kids living their faith out, passing it on, creating a sure foundation for them to launch into the mission they have. And Jesus' parents obviously taught that. But in Ephesians 5, what we see, what it talks about is the husband's role, the wife's role, the parent's role, and the student's role, or the children's role. So when you zoom out just a little bit, what you see is the environment in the home and how powerful and crucial that is for faith development. So what we have to do is we have to keep a pulse on, what is the vibe? Is this a haven? Is it a safe place to grow and experience and do life? Or is it full of tension and strife and mess? The environment is critical and important for us. The boy Jesus needed a sure foundation to set up his future mission. Likewise, we need a sure foundation in the teaching and life of Jesus for our mission with Jesus. Point B, the second thing in a pre-launch that we get out of this text is a strong resolution. What we see and learn from this is we need to have a strong resolution about who we are, what we're about, and the timing of that. And we see that in Jesus. Listen to verse 45 in Luke 2. And when they did not find him, remember, they lost him, they're looking for him, and it wasn't because of neglect, so don't go there with your mind. Though his parents missed him, they were sad. They returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And like I said, they missed him. They're sad. And he said to them, and Jesus wasn't being a stinker here, okay? So lose that, okay? He wasn't doing that. He's answering matter-of-factly, right? He says, and he said to them, "Why were you looking for me?" This is verse 49. "Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they did not understand the saying that they spoke to him. And listen to this, verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, went back with them, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So what we see in this scene is Jesus had a strong resolution. A lot of you probably already geared up for tonight, right? You've already been talking about what your resolution for 2018. So you're going to hear a resolution. And what a resolution is a firm decision, a strong decision. And Jesus says, "Here's my resolution. Why are you looking for me? Because for me, my resolution is I'm about my father's business. That's what I'm doing. That's who I am. That's what I'm going to be about, and I'm not going to be moved." Okay? I put a little more attitude than Jesus did, I'm sure. Okay, I probably just sinned there. I don't think he would have, right? I'm going to be about my father's business. And that's what he has to do. Because when you set a resolution, what it does is it sets your course. When you're going to be about this, about Jesus, what happens is I can't be about that. Nope, I can't have that. I can't have that worldview. Can't do that because I'm about Jesus. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. This is my resolution, my strong resolution. It also makes your decisions for you. Life gets a lot easier when you have a strong resolution, right? Because here's it goes, is guess what? Oh yeah, here's an offer, you can do this. No, I can't do that because I'm about this. Nope, yep, I know other people can do that and stuff, but I'm not gonna do that because this is my resolution. I'm about the mission of Jesus, I'm on here. And that's what Jesus was saying, I'm about the Father's business. This is who I am and what I'm about. There's also some real interesting teachings here that I think encourage us. And first of this is, you know, when you make a strong resolution, sometimes you're gonna have to go alone. People aren't gonna go with you. In fact, a lot of times, your friends, your family, no, they're not gonna come with you. They're gonna think, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home and my family thought I was nuts when I did this, because we used to tease Christians, and all of a sudden I'm one, you know, so they weren't coming with me, right? Like, you crazy? So you have to go it alone, because Mary and Joseph, they understood the call, who Jesus was gonna be, to a certain level, but they didn't quite get it. She would fully realize and acknowledge it at the wedding of Cana, right? Remember the water into wine? And it's funny because she came up there and they needed that, and she told Jesus, and he says, you know, it's not my time. And it's so funny, she didn't answer him, right? She looked to the people there and says, hey, do what he says. I love it, because when she's saying, I know you, I got you, I know who you are. You're the miracle worker, you're the Messiah, you're the Lord, I get it. You know, whatever he says, do, right? And so she eventually got, but here she didn't. She didn't understand. And so guess what? You know, he had to figure another interesting lesson here, the right timing. So what happens is, did he stop being about the Father's business? No. It is just a bigger picture. What he's understanding this truth, ready, is this, is there's a lot of little missions that lead to the big mission. And Jesus was about the Father's mission, but what the right timing was is to go be submissive to his parents. That's the right thing. That was the godly thing to do, okay? And not fight with them there and say, hey, I've got my rights. Nope, this is my season in life. I understand, and it's part of being about the Father's business, is I'm gonna go with my parents back to Nazareth. Could he have stayed there? Absolutely. You know, did he have, you know, the merit, the wisdom? Yeah, he was blowing people's minds. He could have been right there. But nope, I'm gonna go do what's right. You know, I get questioned a lot of times are high school students and young adults, right? Is they come up to say, hey, you know, this is, God was clear, this isn't the will for my life, this is where I'm going, and it's just not happening. So I was asking, is that God's will? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm confident. Okay. You know, but I need to get going, you know, do I need to move? Do I need to do this? I say, you know what, here's the deal. If that's God's will for your life, that's the mission he has for you, and he hasn't given it to you, that means where you're at right now is part of God's will for you, and it's important. You need to drill down deep right where you're at. Now, pushing outside of it, it would be foolishness and not wise, but getting to where you're at and drilling deep and getting what he has for you, because when he's ready, he'll move you on to that next step, phase, whatever. But right now, this is important, and these young adults that I talk to a lot, they know I say drill deep. Drill deep, there's something more for you. You know, yep, it sounds like a pain. You want to get going and that stuff, but guess what? God's doing something. He's cooking something cool, and you're going to need it later when you get there. So drill deep. Another lesson that's really encouraging here is Jesus' age. He was 12 years old. And it's so funny. Sometimes when we look back at biblical times, we think, oh, he's 12. He must have had a beard and had a cane, right? Is there any 12-year-olds? Any 12-year-olds here? If you're 12, raise your hand. All the 12-year-olds, stand up real quick. Just stand up. Do me a favor. I know it's embarrassing. We won't embarrass you. 12-year-olds, stand up, okay? Look, that's what 12-year-olds look like. They still look like that there. Thank you. You guys are awesome, okay? That's what a 12-year-old looks like, okay? They're 12. But God had something he could do in a 12-year-old's life. Look what he did. Listen, this exchange is amazing. They are astonished at his teaching. He blew the teachers. He was the smartest people around. And they're like, whoa, his parents were blown away when they heard him. 12 years old. And so here's your next question, ready? And just to answer, but also just kind of talk about it. At what age can Jesus use you? At what age can Jesus use you? Take about 30 seconds. We'll do it shorter, but talk about that. Write it down, whatever. Getting used to this talking stuff, and when Pastor Ken comes back, just start talking whatever you want. See how that goes, okay? Yeah, right? I'll get in trouble. Hopefully, just record. Don't record this service, okay? So here's the deal. He might be watching back there, right? He's probably taking notes. We called him to the office. Here's the deal, okay? He was 12 years old. At what age can God use? Can Jesus make a difference through you, okay? And it's whenever you're ready, right? whenever you're ready. I want to tell you a story. I got a friend from Orcas Island here. Hi, Rick and Heidi. Welcome from Orcas. But when I was on Orcas, I served there for 15 years, okay? When I showed up, and if you want to confirm this, talk to my friend Rick here in the middle. It's kind of a spiritually dark place. It's a tough spot, okay? It's a tough spot. So I show up there, and it's kind of a wreck. And I'm going to be the youth pastor here, and I'm thinking, boy, this place is crazy. The first year, kind of wrestling with it, trying to figure this out, praying, God, how do we want to do this and all this. And two 12-year-old boys come up to me. I'd met them and kind of knew them. Named Josh and McLean, to give you a reference here. And they said, hey, Scott, will you do a Bible study? So, okay, I'll do a Bible study. Will you invite someone? Okay. So we started a Bible study, and you know, I lived in a church parsonage, right, in this living room. There's about three or four of us the first week, and that thing started growing and started growing and started growing. In fact, we had to actually blow out the wall from the living room, which is a big living room, into the dining room just to fit all the kids. You couldn't walk. There's so many kids. And this is a place they would say is irreligious. They hated Jesus, nothing about it. And two 12-year-olds wanting to be about the Father's business changed this place. And then we journeyed for 15 years and saw amazing things happen in the youth. And I was just back there a little while ago, and I had parents come up and just crying. Said, you know, we need God's movement here again, right? And then they're sad, you know. But that whole season wasn't about me. It's about two 12-year-olds. Said, we want to be about the Father's business, and here we go. And they changed an island. Changed it. And so many people saved, baptized, in full-time ministry now. It was incredible. So here, Jesus knew what he was, or who he was, and what he was about. And he was okay with the timing of the journey to get to his larger mission launch. In our shared mission with Jesus, we have to be about Jesus' business and Jesus' timing. And that's tough. Point C is a solid preparation. In Luke 2:52, after all this happens, we see what the results are and how it goes forward from 12 to the next scene we get. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. Stature is, you know, just your physical growth, okay? And in favor with God and man in reputation. So what Jesus did is he increased in wisdom. He spiritually grew. And he, what he was doing, we see he was growing into his mission and his launch. He grew into it. It just didn't arrive. It was a journey and a process. What's really encouraging here, okay? What's really encouraging is, does God need to grow? The answer is no, just so you know, okay? So what we see here is Jesus is a man, right? This is Jesus as man. Now, he didn't forfeit what we call his deity, right? What he did is in his deity, and parents, I'm saying this for you, is he took on full man. You get it? So he didn't surrender one and become, and he wasn't like three quarters this or no. No, in full deity, he became full man. Okay, that's what he did. So what he did, and the encouraging thing is, as he grew and stuff, is he gave us an example of how you can do it. This is what it looks like. This is why I think Luke has this in here. Okay, we're gonna get to Jesus's public launch. Okay, we know what his mission is, but he had to get prepared and ready for it. And that's so much our journey, right, of spiritual growth. And we get, you know, I think the privilege and pleasure of seeing how it unfolds in Jesus' life. So this next section is, we're gonna take, you know, I want you to just look and say, how might you want to improve? Because what happens is, what I don't want to do is I look at growing. Because Luke gave us this. He didn't go all around and say, well, there's this piece, this for growth and stuff. Let's just look at what Luke gave us here in this preparation story of Jesus. And if you look at Luke 2:49, it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Remember, his parents were looking for him. They found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, because what happened, the smartest people of the land would come around in this these festivals and these feasts, and they'd start dialoguing. Sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So this was Jesus' learning process. This is what we're given in this time, okay? And so what I want you to do is I'm gonna walk through and talk about a couple of these things. I want you just to check, say, and you young people do the same. I'd like to grow in this area. I could use growing there, okay? First thing we see is humility. We see Jesus' heart here of humility. Jesus was blowing their minds. Did he really need to be there? We can start arguing that, okay? He could have chose not to. But the thing is, he humbled himself and was there. He was there with them. Because here's the thing about this, ready? You can't learn if you won't learn. You with me? The greatest killer, young and old, probably more old, in learning and growing spiritually is pride. Because you shut it down. No, nope, I've got all the answers. I figured out. Here it is. You know, whatever. Okay? So humility is so important in growing spiritually. Second thing, seeking. Jesus went to the teachers. Okay? He went to them. They didn't have to go find him. He went to them. So we have to go to our teachers and those who have wisdom, and we need to seek them out. We can't just sit back and wait for them to come. And young people, I really want to talk to you in this, okay? You need to go get it. Those two 12-year-olds would come to my house. People always say, Scott, what'd you do? Nothing, just had my front door open. These kids would come in and just sit there and ask questions and we'd journey. That's how they grew. Wasn't my secret scheme to how to spiritually grow young people. I was just available and they were seeking. They sought people out, okay? You need to seek people out. Listening. Jesus listened. Scripture teaches us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, right? It's such a part of the processing. And here's what's interesting. I want to say this is we needed to slow down and open our ears and close our mouths. Because here's what happens is, I mean, and we've all been there. Someone starts saying something you don't agree with. The tendency is, I'm done. I'm gone. Or, no, let me correct you. And a lot of times if you hear them out, you're going to see what they really are trying to say and get. Because most people aren't amazing communicators. And so it takes them a while to get to their point, right? And so we need to listen to people and slow down and say, I'm going to give you the time. Because guess what? Let's say when they're done, it is totally what you don't believe or agree with or whatever. Great. Now you've had time to process it. So you've got to be a listener. Jesus was a listener. Then asking. He asked questions. And this is so cool. Jesus engaged in learning, okay? He wasn't passive. This is kind of the back and forth that they do. Is how you would make a statement in his time is you'd ask a question and see if you get confirmation or see what they had to say. So you just ask back and forth. You know, it's one of these things. It's why we do our life groups the way we do with the children, students, and adults, right? It's interactive. And it's not a monologue. Because greater learning happens this way. And we see it at one of our trainers, Glenn Cowan, our executive team lead here. Well, his wife, Linda, trains really all over the world. But she specializes in training people. And she said something to me that she says, you know what? Whoever's talking is the one who's learning. And it so references this. And so, something that we try to do in our training now is we want to get people engaged in talking because you learn when you wrestle with ideas and thoughts, you get challenged on something, you challenge somebody. It's an amazing exchange. So what we have to do is for spiritual growth is to learn Jesus' word and Jesus' way to be like him, to grow into our larger mission. We have to have a plan, a preparation plan for our spiritual growth and not going to neglect that. And that leads to kind of this, the cool moment. So flip over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. And I'll read it here. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. So this is that launch. Remember I told you launches are awesome? So this is an awesome scene, okay? So here's the scene here. John, Jesus' cousin, who is preparing the way, and he's a wild man, okay? Just think he's crazy wild man. And he's shouting and screaming. People are coming from all over, and he's doing this baptism of repentance, and he's calling out the religious leaders. There's, corrupt soldiers and tax collectors, corrupt people. They're all being baptized, and there's just this crazy scene of, and John is saying, hey, I am preparing the way for the Lord, who's going to take away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God. He's going to come and do something crazy. I do a baptism of repentance, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this is this crazy, cool scene. So it's just got to be nuts. And he's doing this for a long time. And then one day, guess what? That's what Jesus stepped into. So all this crazy excitement, this Jesus steps into the launch pad. Here we go with everybody present. Jesus steps in and Jesus gets baptized. Right in the Jordan River. Jesus says, I'm him. You know that one you're yelling about preparing the way, the Lord stuff, the Lamb of God? That's me. Here I am. Let's do this thing, okay? And it's exciting and it's crazy. But why would Jesus choose to launch with baptism? Does Jesus need to get baptized? Here's why, okay? First of all, because it's his resolution. Remember his resolution? What was his resolution? I'm about the Father's business. In Matthew 3, when Jesus comes in, John says, no way. He says, yes, to fulfill all righteousness, we need to do this. This is what we have to do, because this is what God wants. This is God's way. So we're going to step in obedience, because remember, this is my resolution. Jesus says, I'm about the Father's business. That's what I'm doing. And so I'm stepping into this water, stepping into this sea. I'm stepping into this right now. I'm going to be obedient. And this is the course I'm going to take. Also because it's the right timing. Okay, it was the right timing, because Jesus was going to do something different. He was going to not just come and cast something down, but he was going to lead them and shepherd them. And we call those people rabbis. And you had to go through a certain thing and be a certain age to be respected in the community to lead them. You're about 30 years old. And so he couldn't have done it at 12 years old. They wouldn't have followed him. At 30, they would have. So the time is right. This is my resolution. This is the time. Right now, here I am. I'm going to lead these people. And we're going to lead them to freedom. Because remember, this is a baptism of repentance about sin. This is a sinless man. He says, I'm going to step into this sin. I'm going to deal with sin. In fact, I'm going to become sin for them. You know, someone who knew no sin so they could be freed from sin. That's what Jesus did. He stepped into this thing. And here's what's cool. He gave us a perfect example. He says this. Remember the mission is shared? The journey shared? He says, okay, folks, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to be about the Father's business. Here I am. Now it's your turn. I'm stepping in. I'm launching. I'm doing my part in this mission. Now it's your turn. Your turn to be part. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up right now, and I want you to think about these things, okay? Is our statement, it needs to be, we have this opportunity in 2018, okay? We're all making all these resolutions, okay? What about a spiritual resolution? You know, you personally, what about you as a family? What if you guys said, you know, we are going to be about Jesus' mission. We're going to be about the Father's business. We're going to step in and do our part. We're not just going to do it the same like we've always done. We're going to do something different, something radical, something that's special and full of power and going to blow your mind. Because what Jesus showed here, when you do that, when you step into this, you're not going to be alone. All people may not go with you, but guess who's going to be with you? The Father, right? Because he spoke in that crazy scene. He says, this is my son, whom I love and I'm well pleased with. You see the Son being obedient, and then the Holy Spirit came back. Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit to say, you're going to have this power with you for this journey. You're not going to be alone. What if we said, we're with Jesus in 2018, and we made a resolution, a firm decision to go with him, and not make it about religion and those things, but about this passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ? What if? What if? And I want to challenge you. So what we're going to do is they're going to lead us in a song. And I want you to do this in four, you know, in there. Just what are you, some spiritual resolutions? You know, you might be ready to launch a big mission, but maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's, you know, I need to honor my parents more. You know, I need to read my Bible. There might be something in the pre-launching that we learned that could and should be what you're about. Okay? But let God speak to you, because it's really cool. Right after they're done, there's some people going to get baptized. People have already said, hey, Scott, we want this to be the year of the Lord and Jesus' business, and we're going to step into it, and we're going to follow him in baptism. It's really cool. There's a cool scene you're going to see. Jeff and Carrie Davis are going to baptize their friends. Carrie's a teacher at our academy, and one of her students, okay, they got connected, invited their parents to their life group, okay? And they started spiritually growing. They said, you know, we want to do this Jesus thing. And so they are part of the academy, part of the church, doing, leading life groups. And these people said, you know, you're a spiritual leader. We want you to baptize us. So we're going to witness that. It's going to be awesome. Okay. It's going to be awesome. It's about being about Jesus's business. And I want to encourage you. Okay. There's going to be open baptisms, you know, Pastor Paul will be over there. Maybe this is you to say, you know, this is where I am at. It's time that I get baptized. I'm not going to use the fear of public humiliation or my family. No, I'm going to step in and be counted with Jesus. I'm going to go into this scene and say, I'm with Jesus. And in order to that is, you know, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you understood that he is the Messiah, the Savior of sin that causes death, that he brings new life, if we will turn from that sin and give it over to him and receive him to be our Lord and Savior, he says, you shall be saved. And so what do we do next with that? Acts tells us, you know, that you'll be baptized. You follow his command and say, I am telling the world, I am counted with Jesus. I am with Jesus. So if you're at that spot, you're ready to pray that prayer, do it. If you've already prayed that prayer, you're just waiting on baptism because you let all these little things get in the way. Man, get up here. We got some clothes in there. You go get baptized. We're going to celebrate Jesus Christ and his work. We're going to make 2018 different. It's going to be the year of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in our family's life, in this church. And we're going to have some people over here praying, okay? And you can, well, come pray. There might be something else your family's wrestling with, you're wrestling with, and just come as a family, and we're just going to pray together. And then we're going to worship, right? Let's ring in the new year and make this about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I love you guys. God bless you.